Who added glorious and benevolent GM to the die roller?
Whoever did that is clearly going for the truthiness persona award.
The Sunday Skypers.
So, John, I was hoping to have you help me remember what Ulfkiller was doing last time.
I was hoping you'd do the same thing, too. I can't remember if I stayed behind or went with the group.
Because, as I remember it, Fandral and Slate were going down this rope, and Flint had jumped off already and was on his way to, like, get the arbalest down in the watery cavern. I don't think you were with...
Yeah, I'm not with the group. Yeah, you're right. I'm back. I guess I'm back there just harassing the apprentices.
Maybe you should write something additional, like refine an additional belief or change an additional belief so you have something besides the brew to leap at in case, right? So if we end up, you know, playing just one scene of barrel taste bettering, you still have something to go for.
Well, you know... Right? We were talking about being almost there. You know, we're actually in the suburbs now.
Yes.
Maybe reopen the breweries of Scoria Deep by scouting out the lesser breweries outside of Scoria. And me and some apprentices get together and we head in and we're going to look for one of the lesser breweries that weren't in Scoria proper.
Okay. Why?
Well, for one thing, they may have some. Not all ingredients are not all dwarf beer ingredients are that weak that they die off in only a century or so. Besides, we may also want to see if they have any intact mash tuns or brewing vessels or
for brewing supplies in outer
suburbs.
Okay. Outer Scoria, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel a little dirty calling them suburbs, but yeah.
In the outer galleries. That's what you call them anyway.
Sure. I'm just seeing this sort of idyllic moment in dwarven history.
Soccer dwarves.
Yeah, soccer dwarves in peaceful Scoria suburbia.
There we go.
With great SUV wagons and so forth.
Oh, yes, I got my belief written. I will reopen the breweries of Scoria Deep and scrounge for brewing supplies in the outer galleries. There we go. Now is a proper sentence.
Well, I guess we should resolve the little cliffhanger in the cave. So we are in the... Well, you're hanging off a little cliff, yes, two of you. All right, so in the deep dungeons night, in the dark, under twisty tunnels adjacent to Scoria, in the watery cavern kind of basin place where the now turned to a trickle kind of subterranean river has pooled, where you're now making your way down to reach the arbalest, and a great shadow appeared in the deep water that reaches for the stony the black stone sharp stone shore where Flint is now scrambling to get to the arbalest.
Yes.
Fandral and Slate are dangling from the rope still, noticing this possible monstrosity.
In the sinister grotto.
Yes.
How big is this thing, like, by guesstimate?
It's tough to tell underwater, but it's certainly very large.
Bigger than a bread box?
I'm trying to think of what you mean by very large. You mean like elephant large or horse large?
It could be elephant large, depending on the elephant.
Which doesn't help at all. Okay.
It's not a baby elephant, okay.
Okay, it's a big elephant. Am I on top of the rope or am I on the bottom of the rope?
I would imagine that Fandral's down last, so he's more toward the top. And you are dangling in the middle, and Flint has just dropped off down onto the rocks, and he can see the arbalest. That's when all of you see the great shadow sweeping up from the deeps, from further away into the darkness.
Can I get Fandral's attention? I mean, if he's not
doing?
Already
doing?
Paying
yes,
attention?
His attention.
No, it's my attention. You can't have it.
Do I have anything I could throw without letting go of the rope?
Flint.
I'm not going to
let go of the rope. So, Flint, there's a great big hulking shadow appearing in the water and approaching the shore. The arbalest is lying some ways away from you.
Well, that's why we run on our stubby dwarf legs. And hopefully we'll time this where I get to the arbalest and out of harm's way before I get consumed.
This sounds like a speed versus test between you and the mysterious creature. And
coincidentally, yes, it does.
If you fail, you are going to not get to the arbalest before you are cut off. If you succeed, you get the arbalest, and then I guess
we make for the safety of the other dwarves.
Yeah, or something.
Relative safety.
Just hope it's not the watcher in the lake.
Well, for all we know, it's a nice, snuggly teddy bear, which would actually be kind of creepy, too. But that's not our story. You see a little teddy bear, but he displaces the size of a plesiosaur.
I guess I should ask you, what do you want? I mean, you want to get to the arbalest, I guess.
Absolutely. I want to fetch, scoop up the arbalest and get out of harm's way.
All right. So if you succeed in this little speed test, then that's what you do. And if you fail, you're cut off and you don't have the arbalest. And then interesting things might happen.
Absolutely.
So pick up your speed dice, please.
Okay. It looks like I have 4 of those. I have, well, it might be too early in the session to spend persona.
Well, you are testing against a B5.
Ooh, okay. I guess we'll just leave it to fate because I do need a difficult or challenging roll to help with my speed. I have 2 successes, so that's a nice even break.
6, 6. Oh, I thought I had the last 6. Oh, well. So that's 3 successes on my side. So, haha. Flint, record a difficult speed test.
Yeah, too bad it wasn't a successful one, but we'll take what we can get.
Okay, so you're racing across the sharp black stones that are kind of piled in hindering cumuli along the shore. They kind of make up the shore. And there's the grind of your boots as they slip on the slick stones. And before you can reach the arbalest, this great shadowy shape hurls itself out of the water, half out of the water. And much to your dismay, a veritable hedge of tentacly things cast themselves in your path and are sort of turning and swirling and reaching for you. What are the rest of you dwarves doing, dangling in the? Actually, how about you? All of you make a steel test.
You're
standing and drooling at the sight of this monstrosity.
Oh, look, it's eating Flint! Wow, look at the choppers on that guy.
What is my steel? My steel.
Is 7. It just our hesitation, then.
Yes, 7.
Yes, just your hesitation. No.
Yeah. So I get 7 dice. Yay.
I equaled my hesitation.
Then you are not hesitating.
Excellent.
It is 7d6, right? Since my steel is 7.
Yes. And they are also open-ended by default. So if you roll 6s, please re-roll them.
So we got 3 successes and 4 successes.
And your hesitation, unless you have some fancy trait, I'm pretty sure you don't, is...
I'm pretty sure I don't, yeah.
10 minus your will.
My will is 5.
Okay, so you are hesitating for 1 action. Would you like to stand and drool, run screaming, fall prone and beg for mercy, or swoon?
Ooh, swoon's good.
Not if you're hesitating.
I'll swoon.
Quiet.
I'll swoon.
I still heard that as I spoon, but okay.
So swoon, 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 not spoon. He'll be doing that later. Swoon.
Oh, that's great. All right.
Swoon.
You know what, Slate? Give me an obtuse speed test to not land on your head.
Okay. That's 44. There we go.
I'm sorry, Fandral. There's no commanding people out of swoons.
Well, since it's for 1 action, it would take me an action to command, so...
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
3 successes, I believe that is?
But it was knob two. So you land on your feet and you sort of crumple and you don't hurt yourself in the fall.
That is a good thing.
Yes. Having Flint test his steel as well, because you're right on top of it.
Steel. I thought, I didn't have to look at that. I was already in the thick of it. Okay.
Wait a minute. Who's under me? Who was under me? Or am I the...
Nobody. Flint was gunning it for the arbalest.
Flint, okay, so. With his steel will, says, I've seen worse. 5 for 5 on successes.
What's your hesitation, right, though?
Oh, well, then we're not going to necessarily talk about that.
It's probably 6, isn't it?
We'll find out for sure. Hold on. The die roll is mighty. I don't know if I have a will of 4.
Yeah, that means that you're hesitating for one action. Would you like to stand and drool? Fall begging prone for mercy.
Can we just slide to a stop throwing gravel? Does that fall under stand and drool?
Sure. If it's a moment of you not doing anything in particular, if it's just, riding to a halt, and whoa.
It's like, I was going to run into that. Great. Okay, yes. One round of, I still have my nerve. I mean, I roll very well. I'd like to think that I meant to do that.
All right, the hedge-like great big tentacles close around you. Fandral, your men around you, the scouts, they're just standing there, wide-eyed, drooling.
Well, I will attempt to leap into action then, land on Slate's head.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
Or any part of Slate.
Aim for the squishy parts in the middle, sir.
Yes, I'll try to
mighty jump off him cry.
And... hurl a throwing axe at this tentacled beast.
Sounds excellent. Okay, so you drop down and you hurl the axe. What do you want to accomplish with your axe hurling?
Hopefully the pain will dissuade it from making off with Flint and possibly make it go away.
Okay.
Do a grievous injury.
Let's pick something specific. It has Flint in its tentacles. You could free him. You could try to hit something vital so it, like you said, it's dissuaded and goes away. Yes, I would look at your beliefs. What did you write about Flint? Because if you hit it in somewhere vital, it might, dive down and take Flint with it.
Ensure he is not killed by the cave beast.
Well, it's only a minor drowning. He doesn't have to die from it. Just a little bit of drowning.
If I hit a tentacle, that'd be likely enough that it won't be able to get a firm grasp on him?
Sure. I mean, this is, as it is now, it's just a versus test. So what would you like to accomplish? Would you like for it to release its hold on Flint?
Sure. Let's go with
that. Let's do that. And if you don't, you are going to cause a nerve reaction that tightens the hold on Flint instead.
Right.
Of course.
So I think this is going to be, let's make it an ob 2 throwing test.
I must inform you, Flint, that my throwing is one of my weakest skills.
Do you have any forks or anything that you could work in?
Probably not.
Large target? That's a fork,
You
right?
have axe. You could fork an axe.
All right. Well, fork an axe.
So do you know which end to throw? Excellent.
And... fork and axe, and we'll throw a persona.
Cool. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Ooh. And we'll spend a fate. Since I got A6 as my only success.
Oh, okay.
There's another success. So 2 successes.
All right. Excellent. That's a routine throwing test. So the axe goes swishing end over end, lops off one of the tentacles, and it sort of pulls itself back, kind of like one of the eye stalks of a snail, spurting blood all over Flint. And the rest of the tentacles sort of release their hold and begin to whip about. And a good half of the monster that was on shore retreat a bit. Or retreat back into the water. And there's, froth and foam and blood and stuff. Flint and Slate are back in action while the other dwarves are still hesitating.
This seems like a good time to use my axe to discourage this tentacular horror. So, we're just going to hack at tentacles and generally convince the thing to go back into the water. Yeah, we'll be the big damn hero here.
Okay, since three of you are not hesitating, I guess you could help each other if you want to make a concerted effort to drive it back into the water.
Certainly, I'll charge axe swinging.
Cool.
Yeah, side by side, axe in hand, yes!
What's Slate doing? Waking up.
I'm trying to think of if I gave him a weapon. I did.
Oh, come on. You could always, you know...
look at the sheet. I think I have a weapon. I think I have a weapon. I'm not sure.
You can always improvise a scalpel. You know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you don't have a weapon skill, but...
Oh, shoot. I don't know.
guess what? You get to open one up now.
Well,
can't help with that.
No.
Can I just throw my scalpel at the thing?
Sure.
Try to find a point where it's gonna hurt.
You have many rocks about your head.
Yeah,
I do have many rocks about my feet.
Can you use your anatomy skill to tell where it's gonna be most vulnerable that we can swing our axes at?
That is an excellent suggestion, even though it's a strange monstrosity you've never seen.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not exactly dwarven or human or elven or any in.
But I'm sure you could make an educated guess, right?
Yeah, I could guess, like, that's a leg or that's an arm, but...
that's a pseudopod!
That's a part of an anatomy that doesn't exist! Go for that!
The big, bobby, fleshy thing is the body!
What is clear that I could throw at?
I mean, we could just say that flavor-wise, you're totally pelting it with stones. And in the process, you're shouting at them to go for certain areas, like hit higher up on the...
Aim for the eye stalks.
If it's even got eye stalks.
Does go now. For the maw!
Does now. Go for the lower fleshy bit.
Since Flint more or less instigated the whole thing, let's have Flint test, and Fandral and Slate are helping Flint.
Okie dokie. So that
one anatomy die from Slate, and I think two axe dies from your prince.
He's just downright dangerous, isn't he? Let's see. One, two, got four successes and a couple of sixes. We'll gladly throw a fate point at that, if that's applicable.
Sure.
And another six.
Oh, I'm a terrible...
And another GM. Six. Let me know when you're done. Okay, so, yeah, that was actually really impressive. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight successes.
Are you still testing, or what was happening?
We're done.
So what was this number you're supposed to roll against?
Oh, well, irregardless, it was heroic.
As it rolls five die for each of its tentacles.
Hey, maybe that's a good point. It should be a versus test. I hadn't gotten that far yet.
Sorry. Jump the gun.
But that's fine. That's cool. Five brawling dice. Oh, and one success.
Calamari tonight!
that is a routine test for everyone. It's a routine anatomy test. It's a routine axe test for the rest of you. Of course, for both Flint and Fandral, the routine test doesn't count because you are both at five or higher. The intent was to drive it back into the deep. So you hack away and fairly quickly, with the aid of Slate, you find the right spots to strike at. And it bubbles and froths and makes strange elephantine kind of noises inexplicably, but sort of in a watery, bubbly kind of way. And it sinks
subsonic
back.
Growling. I just imagine that Flint is a bloody horrific sight.
Yes. Oh, and the echo of its defeat roar kind of still echoes throughout the caverns. And yes, of course, you are a mess. You're a mess of slime, under pool slime from being gripped.
I believe I was hosed with blood or something.
Yes. You'll have to polish off that arbalest before handing it over.
I can see it now. Slate and Flint are just covered in ichor, And there's Flandrel just standing there, completely untouched.
Must be the prince.
With his arms crossed, shaking his head.
Clean yourself up there, Flint.
I could totally imagine Flint like grabbing a handful of water and rubbing it on his face. Okay, let's go.
Right about now, the rest of the dwarves are coming too, and they're like, they're just a medley of murmurings and babbling accolades for, you know, you brave three.
But you're gopping like you've never seen a tentacled beast from below before.
Well, we carefully pick up the arbalest and we wipe off the worst of the elements that have been splattered over it. Hand that over to Slate. Well, keep this for safe keeping. I need to clean up.
Clean up, huh?
Yeah. Well, you're probably okay with a gore-infested crossbow.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I can run it in the water and get the gore off of it.
It's a crossbow. Dunk it.
Don't forget that water is full of, ichor and blood and bits.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I'll just dip it here. It'll be fine, sir.
Splash. Wipe it off. I said that.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure you have some stuff vaguely or tangentially related to your like first aid supplies.
Rags. Just these bandages. We won't need them.
I will just kind of use the strap of my pack to just kind of wipe it off.
Just scrape it.
As best I can, okay? So it's not like
I'm just thinking of that motion like you would when you're shaving and getting the foam off. It's just like, and then you flick the razor. Just so her crossbow may come back in multiple colors. So, wow, that was interesting. I wasn't expecting that. But if we look where the overflow of the lake is, we see that it's heading downstream. And I believe that's the direction we need to go.
Yes. All right.
Onward. For
the rest. I just imagine that we're going very carefully around the edge of the lake on the lookout for anything that breaks the surface. I can just imagine, you know, the troop of dwarves, you know, on the stony shores of this subterranean lake, you know, just, you know, they're supposed to be looking forward, but everyone's always nervously looking at the waters, which have now become, you know, still now that the thrashing has subsided.
It's a great black mirror where your lamp lights are reflected.
Yes. Very cinematic. Well, that's the way I play my RPGs. Yeah, this is like I'm a director in my own head. So, yeah, I set up the establishing shots and, you know, where's my dolly? Ah!
So was Fandral about to say something, like a command or something?
I think I just said, all right, let's go.
Okay, you make further inroads, I guess.
Yes, we're navigating. You know, we're following the tunnel. A natural source of water like this would never have been abandoned by the residents of Scoria, except, of course, there was a monster back then too. But I'm assuming that it took up residence after the dwarves left.
You probably also find little like scrolls on the cave walls that appear to be goblin markings. You're still kind of following, you know, tying back to the test you did last time about following the detritus of
absolutely
the goblins.
Look, you could see where they traveled away from the shore.
Yes. Far away from the shore as they possibly could.
Honestly, at this point, I don't blame them.
So back in camp.
Yep. What was that sound we just heard?
Oh, yeah, there's probably a very faint sort of only more monstrous, you know, echoing throughout the caverns.
Anyway, yes, I'm basically got pots and pans set out with beer in them and busy, you know, doing little tiny test batches trying to figure out what tastes the best.
All right. Do you have any help in this endeavor, or are you doing it like on the sly all on your own?
Nah, I'm quite open when I'm doing. You know, I'm bringing apprentices over and yelling at them and saying, more heat over here. I need to get this a little bit hotter. but not too hot. We don't boil the alcohol out.
So there's a short, brawny little apprentice running over with a bellows like...
I get the impression this is your teaching style. You know, when they do it wrong, then you shout at them and hit them with the paddle.
Got to give him a name now. Murtaugh. Murtaugh! No. Back off in the heat. Back off in the heat.
Well, you said more heat.
Yes, but not that much heat. You got to get just right. We just want
All right. He starts fanning the bellows instead, like using the bellows as a fan to sort of get the heat away in some half-assed way.
Yeah, just making it hotter doing that. Just stop. Just stop. Let the coals die down a little bit. Okay. Yeah. Come here. Look at this. See how that's just like a stew. We want a slight little bubbling, like just like that.
Ma never taught me cook.
Neither did mine, but you have to learn. I take a little cup and dip it in there and take a sniff and sip. Here, what do you think?
He peers at it as if he's looking at a... like he's looking down a cup full of runes for divination, right?
Don't burn your brain on it. Just take a sip and see if it tastes good. That's all you're doing.
I guess we could make this the... the see test? How well you did kind of test.
Right? So make a test. See, you got me brewing skills. I got my beer wise. It's going to be a brewing, so it's going to be a B3. So I got 3. I got beer wise 5. Is that enough for 2 dice?
I wonder if
more beer wise
test, or I mean, you're not technically brewing.
I'm all right. So we beer wise.
And but I'm not, brewing. You know, I'm not myself versed much in brewing processes, so
okay, as a person who actually has actually done this, it's more of a brewing, so I would say it's be a brewing test.
All right.
But I would fork in my beer wise. When a few times I can legitimately say I also can fork in beer appraisal.
Oh, okay. Maybe this is more, you know, if you start tasting a beer and to figure out what it's like, that's beer appraisal.
Yeah,
but I'll allow a fork. Why not? That seems appropriate.
So that gets me up to 6 dice. Anything else can I toss in there? Nah, that's pretty much it. So this is going to be one of those graduated tests to see how well I roll.
No. This is an intent. You want to recreate the recipe with the resources you had on hand. And I'll say that's a 4. That's an OB4 to get it completely right. If you succeed, you get it right, and you're going to impress people. But if you get it wrong...
You're going to need Slate to fix your dwarf.
Hey, I already tasted it.
The precise nature of the brewing, of the process of getting it this combination just right, means if you overbrew it or underbrew it, it'll have some unpleasant consequences.
Possibly
just taste-wise, but also health-wise.
But this is why I'm only doing a small batch. I'm not going to spoil the whole pot. So this is a case where I think burning a persona is worth my while. So it gives me up to 7 dice. 7 versus 4. 1, 2, 4. Exactly.
Okay, so Murtaugh takes a sip, and then he sort of smacks his lips a little and his mouth. This is good. This is really good, Ulfkel. Mm. It's almost like bear's brew.
Almost. Mm.
He holds it out again for more.
Yeah, I take another little dip and pour it into his cup. I pour more in my cup. We both drink deeply, and we're going. Then I look down at my little blackboard. I had some slates laid out with chalk marks, everything of the process of elimination, and going, now we got to scale this up.
Which you should totally leave to your apprentices while you go do adventure stuff, I guess.
Since Murtaugh was here, you know, I hit Murtaugh in the shoulder and said, okay, here's what you need to do. And I can see his eyes go round.
This will be a difficult rune script test for Murtaugh to figure out what you've illustrated.
If I know he has a hard time reading, I'll put... pinch of everything I did by each one of the little number, each one of those.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Perfect illustration. Yeah. Right. He nods and gets to work and grabs a bunch of your apprentices who are not, you know, the adventurous kind to help him out.
So I go tap a couple of the more bronze and brain types.
These are like the slow dwarves in your presence group, like the guy with the lazy eye, you know, the tall guy with the buck teeth who's he's always scratching at that sort of sore at his neck. Oh, dear, the guy with the flies. Inexplicably, there are flies under the earth because wherever he goes, there are flies. He's kind of the pig pen, I guess, of the dwarves.
So, yeah, I get those three. So, yeah, now I got these guys down, just at least the descriptions. Rudy Slow Eye.
you should do the Tolkien stuff. So one is beefy and one is reefy and or something like that.
So Bucktooth guy is
Nash Overbite.
Kim, K-H-I with the little hat, M.
Keem.
Keem.
Keem. Okay.
Oh, it'd be a nasty appellation. Kim the bottle opener. Because he's got buck teeth.
His brews are atrocious.
No, because he's got buck teeth you can open bottles with.
Oh, the bottle opener. I thought you said the bowel opener.
So did I. It's like, ew.
Oh, here we go. Froar. Just Froar. You know, no appellation for him. So yeah, Rudy, Kaim, and Froar pick up their tools. They probably have hammers. We all come from the same sort of background, so we're more familiar with hammers than we are with axes.
Because you're fixing stuff. Yeah.
We get a small little pony keg and strap in the back of Kim. He's the biggest one. And head on out to the follow the main tunnels and see where we can try to track down a brewery or something out there in the outer galleries.
Okay.
I'd like to pose a devious idea.
Sure.
Ulfkel, you would be much more successful if you were to borrow some of the prince's maps.
No! I have a better idea. Before we go, we stop over by the scout encampment and say, hey, we need someone to take us in the galleries. We'll borrow one of your scouts.
Hey!
I was just going to ask, because I don't remember. You brought some scouts with you to look for the missing ones. You definitely brought Ty, because you wanted him with to sort of get back his courage, I think.
Yes, and I believe we were talking about Frumi as well.
Okay.
So for scouts, we have Frumi and Ty.
We're definitely going to entice them with some beer to come follow us, to come help us find a brewery.
So you get to the scout encampment, their little part of the
camp. Yeah.
Scully is there, he walks up to you and goes, well, what do you think you're doing?
Well, we need more brewing equipment. So we were thinking about going into the galleries, the outer galleries, and looking for an old brewery and see if they have anything we can salvage.
Are you out of your mind? We just fought a bunch of goblins. They're everywhere in the tunnels. Roars said that no one is leaving until Fandral gets back.
I turn Kim around and pour up a flagon and hand it off to Scully. No, we only have so much, and we need to brew a lot more. And I need more equipment. Otherwise, you'll be on short rations.
Better to be on short rations than short dwarves, and especially brewers. Look, we can't just risk you. That's not happening.
I pour myself one, drink it back. Come on, you want to be on short rations?
This sounds like coarse persuasion or something. Come on, you don't want to be on short rations, do you? It's awful.
So can he leverage someone else's greed?
Leverage someone else's greed? No.
Oh, well.
I mean, he could play to someone's weakness. I'd give him advantages for that, but...
He's not a teetotaler, but he's also not one of those dwarves that... if it was Roar, I'd probably get a whole bunch of people with me with Roar. The scouts are more sober than that. Well, would this be a versus test?
This is against his will of four. To either go with you himself or assign you someone.
Yeah, so I'm trying to ply him with beer, at least letting him know that this is what he's going to be missing if he doesn't help me.
I'll give you an advantage to die for having concrete rewards in hand, so to speak. But also, I'm also going to raise the obstacle to five because this is a kind of a specific situation. Roar has put his foot down.
Can't use foraging. Really, this does not use beer-wise.
It depends a lot on how you're putting it. If you're saying, I know my way around tunnels, and I know precisely what I'm looking for, and I can let you, work in foraging.
And us burrowers, we're quiet a lot. We're not going to be noisy and draw attention to ourselves.
Falsehood?
So is lying a skill?
I got falsehood opened up too as a learning skill.
It's not opened up. You're still opening it. So that means it can't help you, or you can't fork it. This isn't really about falsehood. You're assuring him that you can take care of stuff.
Oh, in that case, I'll reach up and pull out my hammer and said, and if trouble comes in place, I know how to fight and use my and show him show off my hammer. It's not dwarf made, but still, it's a hammer.
That's a bit reaching, though. I'm not going to give you a fork for that.
So it looks like the best I can do is at least match. Which is 5.
All right. Before you test, if you succeed, you get a choice. You can argue for him following you into the tunnels, or for him to spare someone. If you fail, on the other hand, he is going to keep an eye out. You know, he's going to say a flat no, and he's going to have people keep an eye on you so you don't break.
Basically, frog marked me back to the brewers. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be extra tough to actually get away from them if you fail.
I got 3 persona left. You know, I'm going to burn 2, so I'll have a total of 7 dice. 1, 2, 3, 4, and one of them's a 6. So, yep, burn a fate and reroll that 6. And it's a 6. Reroll that one again. Okay, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 again. No, 5? Yes. I matched again.
All right.
You know, dragging along a nameless scout is not a good idea, so I would drag along Scully.
And that was 5 versus 5?
Okay. A difficult course persuasion test. Yay.
Okay, so your way is sort of moving the beer under his nose and sort of enjoying it in front of him, and you do the whole backslapping routine, and you can see him slowly. You can see your sweet beer tinted arguments wearing him down ever so slowly, and he goes, well, you're right, it would be bad if we ended up dry on a march, or if we meet further resistance, that's bad. And
sip my beer when he says that. Yeah.
Suppose you're important to our expedition. It would be bad if you hurt yourselves. I should follow you and make sure that you don't do anything stupid.
Not follow. I mean, lead us. Lead. I mean, you've been out there.
Yes, lead. Of course, that's what I meant. Let me just get my helmet and my tankard and picking stuff up.
Thinking about this, we probably have a wagon, because if we do find something, we need to bring it back.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Froar is on the wagon.
Is it a smaller wagon that you're pulling yourself, or do you have an animal with you?
You know what? This is going to be a cart. This is going to be a large cart we're pulling ourselves. Having an animal go crazy, you know, not a good idea. Besides, we can tilt it up and use it for a shield if we need to.
The animals are too valuable to use for shields. All right, so he suits up and, you know, slaps you on the shoulder and says, all right, this way.
All right.
You walk past the sentries, and the skull is just nodding to them, goes, special assignment, important stuff, out of my way. And, you know, they nod. And
the wagon goes on by, creak, creak, yeah. Creak, 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 hi-ho, no.
At which point, Skull is going to look back at you with an extremely incensed expression, like, oh, shit, you knew what you were doing. Yeah, okay, so back in the darkness of the lake adjacent tunnels, which after a moment opens up into a sort of mess of side passages, equally littered with goblin stuff. And as you make your way into them, you can hear a distant sort of creaking and these sort of venomous snarling voices in the distance. They're too faint to make out. It's too faint to make out what anyone's saying, but you could definitely tell that somewhere further ahead there are goblins and possibly some sort of little camp. And every now and then you hear a faint sort of echoing mewling as well, which does not sound like goblin.
A what?
Mewling.
I'm sorry, I don't know what that is.
To mule is to sort of whine or moan.
Oh, like, moaning. Okay, as if it needed to be creepier.
It's not a ghostly moan. It's more like someone who is in pain, a pitiful person who is in pain somewhere further ahead.
Yeah, now you're just going to make me sad.
There are no rattling of chains. There's nothing like that. Okay.
Okay.
Well, maybe, but not in that way. Not in the sort of...
So, like, you and whatever scouts, you need maybe go get a quick look at what we're up against and then come back and let us know.
Absolutely. Do we take Ty along or not? That's the tricky part. Ah, yes.
He looks terrified, but definitely pepped by your pep talk.
Okay. We'll take Ty and Frumi and we'll all fan out and scout. But by fan out, I don't mean like hundreds of yards apart. I mean like 10 yards. So we get a little bit more coverage, but worst case scenario, if we need to sign or whisper to each other, we still can.
All right. Now, there's some faint light further ahead. So if you want to not bring torches or something, that works.
Absolutely.
You can still see the tunnels well enough not to stumble into crevices and stuff. But ahead of you is kind of, there are these sort of three snaking natural tunnels that slope gently upward. They all have some sort of luminescence toward the end, but it's not sure that they don't appear to be pointing toward the same space. And these noises could be coming from any of the three directions.
Bad acoustics here. Well, it looks like we need to split up here. No heroics. You find anything strange, you quietly back off and you tell the prince. Everyone come back in a few minutes and we'll compare notes.
I guess I'll take the bottom tunnel, says Frumi.
Yeah, and I will shove Ty towards the middle. I'll grab the other branch.
All right. So yours is in an ever so slightly wandering direction. It doesn't quite lead to the same space, the other two. But how about you give me a stealth test?
Sure.
It's a versus test, so I'm going to roll against you. If you succeed, you're going to come upon something unannounced. If you fail, then you or someone else is going to be discovered.
Stealth, stealth, stealth. Stealthy is a B3. I need a routine, so how can I make this a routine?
If I roll poorly and you roll well.
Okay, that sounds like I need to dump a persona into it then.
I'm rolling three dice.
Well, I would love to fork in tunnel-wise and burn a persona so I have five versus your three.
Okay.
Because that sounds like magic. Survey says I have one success.
All right. Roll. Oh, and I have two successes. No, I don't. Those are threes, not fours. I don't have a single success. So you do, in fact, make your way.
I sneak poorly, but they listen the worse.
Yes. You know why? Because they are embroiled in a vicious back and forth over what to do. And it's like, we were routed. We have to go now. The dwarves could be on our trail. And someone else is going, I'm not leaving my charges here. That would be lunacy. And someone else is swearing at them to, you know, come to decision quickly. And you can hear the moaning coming from that direction also. And this is sort of when you come to the lip of the where the luminescence is, and you're peering down as from a shelf into a kind of natural cavern that's been accommodated by dwarves of old to be a kind of storeroom. You can see that there are two other entrances below. Inside is a kind of rack, a wreckage of broken stuff, dwarf stuff. Some of it is sodden and soggy and messy. There's lichen on the walls. And here you see four goblins arguing among themselves. And in a corner, there's some torture equipment, sort of makeshift torture equipment, a rack, some stuff. You see three chained dwarven scouts, and one is on the rack. One of the goblins is sort of absent-mindedly turning the rack chain, so the dwarf is ever so slightly more extended as he's arguing. It's sort of like he's sort of torturing him without even looking.
That's not really a professional way to torture anyone. as much as I'd like to be the big damn hero in Burning Wheel, 4-1 will get you murdered.
Maybe. I mean, we could do a quick, you know, bloody versus if you want to be heroic and just hurl yourself down and start whipping the axe about. You have the element of surprise.
Damn it! But that would be going against my own orders. Well, I feel sorry for the dwarf on the rack, because I probably know them all personally. We will hurriedly make our way back to the intersection, and hopefully the other two scouts have shown up.
Ty is waiting for you there. Prumi is late. Ty is like, did you see anything?
I found some of the dwarves, but also found a handful of goblins. If I grab the other axe bearers, we can get in there and rescue them. I need you, pointing right at his nose, to go see where Frumi is. Don't be a hero. Just go and report back where he is.
You won't attack before I'm back, right?
Actually, I plan to attack while you're out, because if nothing else, we'll provide you a wonderful distraction.
So I'll go back. All right, then. All right,
so
then. Okay.
Go down the branch that Frumi went down and find out what's taking him so long.
Don't do anything stupid. I got it.
He says, Scout doesn't mean hero. Ignore what I do. Okay, and I rush back to the prince. Sir, I found some of the dwarves, but there's a handful of goblins, so I wasn't ready to take them on by myself. Frumi and Ty are out scouting one of the other tunnels. I think we need to move quickly. They're torturing them as we speak.
All right, let's go.
Prince, man of action. Love it.
What's Slate doing now that you're sort of moving toward... I guess you're moving with your axe bearers up toward the storeroom. Would that be correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So what's Slate doing? Just following or hanging back? Or
I was actually trying to figure that out. Since giving him a weapon would be a very not good idea, considering he doesn't know how to use one.
Oh, you got that crossbow. It might be slightly malfunctioning, but...
You got the arbalest, but the thing is he doesn't know how to shoot the arbalest.
Okay, you can figure out how to shoot the arbalest. It's just going to be a little tricky. And even if you don't have arrows for it, Dwarven Arbalest actually shoots stones as well. So if you can find some nice rocks, you have ammunition.
We're in a cave. I don't think that'll be a problem. It did occur to me when Dirk said that I probably need to be back in the reserve, so... Oh, yeah. I don't know where that would be exactly. So they're heading up there. Am I just like hanging back by myself?
When we get up to the entrance to this storeroom, I leave you at the entrance as we charge in. And
you've got our back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, got your back.
He says with food in his mouth.
Sorry. Doggy dog wants
is
chips.
That Flint chewing on some whey rations?
I guess.
Okay, well that sounds good. I mean,
all right. So you can pick some stones and load the arbalest and stand there waiting, like in the back, in case something goes wrong.
Waiting and aiming. I'm not letting them out of my sight. Well, as long as I can see them, anyway.
All right, so would you like to make this a kind of ambush thing? In that case, a new stealthy test should be made, since you now have clanking axe bearers with you.
It just so happens, on that last stealth test, I went up to B4, because I needed a routine.
Excellent. Burning Wheel dictates that the slowest, dumbest, shortest, least skilled is the one to roll in any test where more than one person is involved. So
I'm helping.
I'm not sure you can help a beginner's luck test. Let's see. Does Flint actually have any sort of stealthy traits that we could work in?
Oh, traits that are stealthy. No, actually, I have swaggering and jumping.
You've succeeded already, so you're going to be, they're not going to discover you, right? This will go under let it ride, right? And the situation hasn't changed enough for you know, you to be discovered, really.
Yeah, if I can lend tunnel wise or something like that, saying, watch your step here, that shale, it's loose.
I'll give whoever's testing, probably Fandral, an advantage die for having Flint there. It's not going to be an extra test for Flint, but since he's there and knows where the goblins are, right?
Doing my scouty stuff, yes.
So Fandral, beginner's luck stealth, I guess.
That's based on speed?
Yes. The obstacle, I think, is going to be 2, because these goblins are arguing amongst themselves and not keeping much a lookout. It's going to be doubled, of course, four, but it's going to count as a test toward opening stealthy.
Yeah, your
speed
right.
is what, four?
Yeah. My plan would be we try to go quietly to where we think we're probably not going to be overheard, and then we just run as fast as we can because,
of course,
I don't see us being stealthy and sneaking up on them.
No, I don't see you sneaking in with axes bared into this cramped storeroom. Start slitting people's throats while they're standing there talking.
No, I was hoping we could at least get to the doorway and then burst in, but we may not even be able to do that with our...
You succeed, you're in a perfect position for a rush ambush. If you don't succeed, then they hear you and are able to react. They're forewarned, so to speak. I'm going to give you a helping speed die from your axe bearers. They're beginner's luck people, too, in this case. So you have one extra die, at least.
And do I get one from Flint?
Yes.
So I get six. All right.
That's doable. Wow.
Dice roll is not working for me, so I'm using real dice.
Excellent.
Yeah, but that's not good. That's two.
Okay.
With 1-6. We'll see if we can get lucky and get run of sixes here, but nope, I got three successes.
All right. So you're approaching, and of course, inevitably, even though you have the aid of Flint, someone's axe butts against someone else's axe, and one of the other axe bearers goes, "Hey, be quiet, you be quiet." And then, you know, someone shoves the other guy.
That's when I go.
And that's where you hear like, "Hey, did you hear something?" Yeah, the jig is up.
Well then, I guess brute force and show of arms will win the day. Can't be any worse than a horde of tentacles.
Quick, get your weapons! From the storeroom ahead.
Okay, I'm assuming that this isn't the only entrance?
There are two, at least, that you could see.
Because I definitely want to cut off their escape route. That is more important to me at this time than actually murdering them, because we got plenty of axe bearers and the prince, so these guys are in serious mortal danger. But
that may be tough. There's at least one aperture into the storeroom that you can't account for. Possibly it's connected to the tunnel that Ty and Frumi went down.
Well, I do what I can. You know, it says I just don't want them to rush out and sound the alert to the other goblins. That's my intended goal in the mass chaos that is combat.
You would rather cut off their escape route instead of like rushing in and killing all of them. You're rushing past them to maybe bar the other.
Absolutely. Or if I see one that's run and three stands, he'll get the axe in the back.
All right. Well, I'd say that's your own little test, right? I'd say that's a speed test versus whatever they want to do, right? If they realize that you're cutting them off, they're going to want to not want you to do that.
That'll work.
For Dirk, I guess it's axe with the helping dice from your axe bearers, I guess, if you want to chop them down.
Sure.
So I'm giving you two helping dice for your axe bearers. Let's do Flint's speedy thing first. Go ahead and pick up your speed dice, and I'm going to pick up the goblin's speed dice. And they're helping each other.
I'm going to burn my last persona, because this is kind of important. So it gets me up to five. And I've got four successes and a six.
Hold on. I rolled one success, so you are winning. There's no problem. You can just blast past the three, quote-unquote, guarding the entrance. They're too busy gawping at the axe bearers, and the prince, you know, rushing at them, axes high, to really notice you. You sort of slip past and rush off and cut off the escape route.
That'll work.
Let's go to Fandral.
All right.
So that's your axe and two extra dice, and you want to cut them down. And, you know, they really, really want to live. So,
too bad.
They quickly realize that they're horribly outnumbered, and so they want to essentially just cut a path to freedom.
I want to stop them from breathing.
Yes, and you want to stop them. Of course you do. Let's see, I'm going to roll five. Five dice.
Eight and... Two.
I have two successes.
I have 5 and 1/6 if I need it.
You know, since it's a versus test about intent, there's no point in exploding. You and your experts expertly prevent their desperate bid for freedom through your ranks.
Get that one! He's running!
Axe goes flying, chonk, you know, he's hit between the shoulder blades and just goes splat. They spit and snarl and wail in terror, but they're cut down.
All right, so Slate, you want to look after the prisoners here? We'll leave like an axe bearer with Slate, and let's find Froomey.
I can do that.
Okay, so Slate, the scout on the rack looks really, he looks like he's in bad shape. And the thongs they've used to tie him to the rack are these sort of nasty, sinewy strings full of metal barbs, and they've sort of dug into his wrists and his ankles. You're going to have to do something to get him off without accidentally hurting him more and possibly killing him. He looks really badly, you know, in a bad way. He's pale, he's sweating, and he probably has a fever.
How is it wrapped? I mean, is it like... God dang it, I don't know torture devices, damn it.
We have to work on that.
I'm seeing if they're wrapped around or just pushed in.
They have been wrapped around, but because he's been stretched, right, they have been pushed in by the tension of extending him.
It's like the goblin equivalent of barbed wire.
Yeah. That's...
Well, I need to unstretch him first, unfortunately. It's just like I said, I don't know torture devices. Is it clockwise or counterclockwise?
No, if it's like Moses got a catch, there's a catch holding it in place. He's got to undo the catch, and that'll relieve the tension.
I'll undo the catch very slowly. Then just kind of ease it back into place a little bit at a time.
You know, to do this right, I think you need to test something like chirurgy or anatomy or something similar.
This is
not hurt him in the process.
Yeah, this is medicine, so.
Yeah, it can be like maybe some of the barbs or and sinew are the only thing that are keeping them from bleeding out because they're under pressure.
Could be anatomy, could be chirurgy.
I'd say it's chirurgy. You could fork in anatomy, absolutely. So to get him loose without hurting him further is an ob 3.
Chirurgy is 5. So
it's a routine test with your fork.
6. That's not high as well. 6. So yeah, 3 successes.
You rolled 6 dice?
I rolled 4.
You should have rolled
5, rather.
You should have rolled 6 if you fork
in. Let me get rid of that roll then, because apparently...
No.
No, just roll
you
one more
add die.
Okay.
Was it good?
Yes, it was a 5.
So how many 4, 5s, and 6s do you have?
4.
Then that is a success. You do, in fact, apply proper pressure. Maybe you tie off some of, like, one wrist. So, you know, when you loosen the barbed, sinewy stuff, you know, he doesn't start immediately bleeding out.
It's like, woohoo, one success for each limb. He appreciates it.
He still looks like he's in bad shape, but at least he's not dead. The other scouts, you know, when you rush in and hack up the rest and they realize that, you know, they're being rescued, they you know, look up with sort of malnourished hollow eyes and just say, Vandril, Prince, there are more of us further in the tunnels. The goblins, they brought a bunch of us. They took a bunch of us. And Little Ty, we don't know what happened to Little Ty.
He's with us.
There was a surfacer dwarf. I think his name was Torir or something. We went into the tunnels with him, and then when the goblins came, he slipped away, the bastard. He may still be out there. I don't know if he means us ill or good or what, but you may want to keep an eye out.
Yes, we'll deal with him.
Well, hopefully he's just trying to protect his hide, but we'll find the answer when we find him.
They don't appear to be too poorly off. They, you know, they haven't had food for a couple of days. That's it. And they're, you know, just tied up. They've been tortured, but not nearly as bad as the guy on the rack.
Okay,
damn goblins, they did it just for fun.
What? They weren't after information?
No, they don't have any sense in their little bony heads.
They're goblins.
That explains everything.
I have a feeling that maybe they were saving us for something worse. I don't know what.
Well, it doesn't look like they were fattening you up. We'll call that a lucky blessing.
What do you mean?
Never mind that. we need to, at least Flint needs to head back to the fork in the tunnel to see if Ty and Frumi have shown up.
Yeah, all of you are going except for one axe bearer and Slate, who's fixing the rack dwarf.
Give a few of our extra weapons to the scouts that are left there.
Oh, yeah.
Injured.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I imagine they've been truly robbed.
Yes, of course. That's something they grumble about, too. Like, the dwarves, the goblins took all their weapons and stuff when they fled. So, yeah, you return down to the little fork. When you return, Ty and Frumi come out of the darkness as well. They look a bit excited, actually.
Excited? Okay.
Yeah.
It's good you're okay. The goblins may have got you.
Ty is like, wow, Frumi might have bought it, actually. He was just standing there in wonderment. You should see it. It's glorious. It's some kind of gate.
Gate, eh?
The Doom Gate.
Show me.
Oh, yes. And Frumi, goes, it's marvelous. You should see it. It's like the old masters coming to life before your eyes. Clanking away into the tunnel, and it leads into a kind of cramped natural chamber that's been, well, okay, it's not natural. It's mostly natural, but then it's been smoothed a little. And it slopes up with a kind of stair. And at the top of the stairs is this, I want to say oblong, but now I'm not sure what that shape is. That's embarrassing. Never mind. It's some kind of door shape.
Oblong works. Oblong works if you're thinking like the monolith from 2001.
Sure, except it's not so oblong. It's sort of rounded at the top.
It's the door shape.
Door shape, except it's sort of, the door shape that looks like a digit, right? A finger instead of like a square door. It's not an actual door, yes. It's like an arch, yes. It's not a door, though. It just looks like a door. The outline of it is like someone reshaped mineral deposits in the stone in a way that they make shapes and swirls and almost like a primitive runic presentment, an image, right? It's like you have lines and swirls of brighter crystalline mineral in a darker sort of granite-y surface and surrounding. So when you come up to it with your torches, those crystalline shapes sort of light up, and it's almost like they give off a kind of shimmer. And it's vaguely reminiscent of some of the door pictures back in the Golden Hall.
Well, Flint will put his hand on the edge of the archway. He's got tunnel wise. He goes, you could almost feel the elemental magic it took to make this, to make the stone flow into these wonderful patterns.
Indeed. It's, in fact, pretty magnificent.
Oh. can we just auto drool for a little bit? Because I don't know, I must have it will apply.
Anyone who has craftsmanship as a greed idiom.
I think that's me. Oh yes, craftsmanship and beauty.
I suppose beauty might work too, yes. And the prince should have beauty at least, right?
Yeah.
It's also wealth. I mean, as a thing, it's full of valuables. So, yeah, I'd like all of you to make a steel test.
Hesitation or?
Just hesitation, yes. Or if your greed exponent is higher than your hesitation, then it's against your greed.
That's what I was expecting.
Where's my hesitation?
But Slate's not there, am I correct? Slate's back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not there. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are completely correct. You are busy.
You feel the compulsion.
I feel the compulsion to roll a die, and I don't know why.
Oh, my God, this dwarf, he's perfect.
God, the craftsmanship.
Well, I got 3 2s and 2 6s, so I just stand there and marvel.
It's steel, though, and that means that your 6s open end by default.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose I could be stupidly lucky. Let's see what happens. No, I'm up to 3.
Yeah, I got 4 successes only.
So you can either stand and drool and be like, whoa.
Well, this is definitely stand and drool worthy. Yeah, it takes a while to soak in this marvel. Yeah.
Or you can go with I must have it, and then you'll have to like take a hatchet to all the glorious stuff.
I can see that everybody else is going, whoa.
Door.
Seems a bit impractical.
I think Flint just raised his greed. Is that correct?
Well, how does that work?
Well, it's a steel test, and you failed it. So that means that the margin of failure is the number of actions that you just stand and drool if you choose it.
Okay.
Or if you choose that you must have it, which would be perhaps a bit odd.
So for 3 actions, he just sits there and just touches the stone. It's like, whoa, look how this flows. This is some powerful magic to craft this.
Now, the fact that you were called to make a steel test for this magnificence is grounds for earning a routine greed test. Now, Fandral has his routine category full, so it doesn't really matter for him. But I believe that Flint recently raised his greed from 2 to 3 or 3 to... Actually, maybe you didn't. That was my wishful thinking, I think.
Could have been.
It was Ulfkell that raised. It was I'm mixing you two up.
That's okay. We're like twins.
Yeah. You can barely tell the difference between the two of us, you know.
And your routine category is also full, so it doesn't really matter. So you're both like, woo, you know, thing, stuff.
Captain G thing.
And there's the same kind of woe from the axe bearers. There's this moment of silence as everyone takes in the gravity and the glory that is this presumed portal.
Now, you don't see that every day.
In fact, you probably haven't seen it for an awful long time. Probably nobody has seen it for like a century and a half. And some of the axe bearers haven't ever seen anything like it. They're too young.
So as I try to shake the stars out of my head, I start looking around. Has this door been opened recently, or is there dust right up to the base of it?
There does not appear to be any indication of use, other than the fact that if you look down on the floor, there's certainly been a disturbance of the gravel and sediment and stuff on the stone. But you would hazard a guess. If you would have a hazard a guess, you would probably guess that the goblins did not like the unholy radiance from it, or the glorious radiance from it. Didn't dare approach.
Maybe not as dumb as we thought. Okay, I'll definitely let the prince know. This door hasn't been opened for centuries. I don't think the goblins and our scouts came this way.
All right. They said there were still more scouts captured.
That only leaves one other tunnel.
Yeah, let's go. As I reluctantly look at the gate. And
can't take it with me.
I don't suppose you have that stone with you, do you?
Oh, of course. I'm not, like, I'm going to leave that.
It doesn't happen to be a stone-shaped hole in that thing.
Nobody's looked for one.
Yeah, if we had time.
Well, I'm going to say this so totally out of character, but I just want to say it so it isn't forgotten. I'm willing to bet if you look at the patterns on the stone in your hand, you can find some place to match it to the elaborate mineral deposits. So it's like a puzzle piece. That's going to be my guess. But we'll figure out how that happens in game. We've got scouts to rescue.
Yes, let's go.
As we cut cruelly back to Ulfkell.
Yeah, that's Todd making it tunnel-wise.
It's bloody dark here. Can we turn more light on, Scully?
Shh, quiet. Quiet.
Okay.
They could come at you from any direction. And, you know, he's completely on, just completely tense, and his eyes are all bugged wide, and, you know, his beard is on end. And
We probably got the red lens in on our little lantern, so it's a red light that doesn't spoil your night vision.
Oh, and he's just going on and on, sort of blathering quietly to you about, you know, all his experiences in the tunnels, and every time you go out, you're on borrowed time, and it's not helping your apprentices. It's lucky that you took the brawny bunch instead of the brainy bunch, otherwise you would have had
morale.
It's the brainy bunch.
I remember back in the Goblin War.
And anytime we come to an opening, I hold the lantern up and start reading the rune, like a sign, like saying what this place was.
Do you have Holdwise?
I don't think I do.
So
does Scully have Holdwise?
You know, he's keeping an eye out to make sure that you're not overrun by goblins, which he assures you breathe fire as well as spit caustic vomit, which will blind you.
I nudge one of the apprentices. Don't believe a word. It doesn't burn your eyes that much.
He pulls up, he rolls up one of his sleeves and shows a horrid burn mark, and he says, "Is this a lie? Would you call me a liar? Have you gone down the path? Have you crossed your axis with the vile, venom-spitting fiends of the Underdark? Under something. Underway."
No, but we have fought goblins. We were there.
But not these goblins. And he goes off on a tirade about the extreme horrors of...
dire goblins.
Yes, the real goblins. Like, these are, not proper goblins. You should have been in the Goblin Wars and blah, 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 blah.
I lean forward and say, "I was in the Goblin Wars."
Should have been at the front lines of the Goblin Wars. He's always one-upping you. I have to dial back now, because now I want to spout various war stories about the and to belittle Ulfkell for being at the back lines with his beer and
in the quartermaster corps.
Yes.
So my perception is B6, so basically that's where I'm going to open it up.
Let's go back. You wanted to find some signs that you were on the right way, I presume?
Yes.
You want to find one of the outer breweries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Let's make that an ob 2, Holdwise.
All right, so that's going to be actually an ob 4 because it's being opened up.
If you succeed, great. If you fail, you will have found a different place.
Trouble. Yeah, trouble. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and two of them are sixes. Worth my while to pop them?
No. Okay, I set the obstacle, so yeah.
So do we actually find signs of where the brewery should be?
Indeed. You turn into some abandoned out hold. And passing through various, domiciles or whatever you want to call them, and craftsmen's quarters, you pretty quickly find all the telltale signs of, this is exactly where they would put a brewery. And as you turn into those tunnels, it opens up into this grand space with a dilapidated, broken down grand brewery.
Well, of course, it has to be in the industrial section of the suburbs. I'm looking at the sign. I can barely read it, but it says Knotweed.
Knotweed? What?
That's the name of the brewery. I'm just naming it, and I'm calling it Knotweed.
I'm totally vetoing that. It says Paul Brewery.
Paul?
But you think some lesson, you think there's a letter missing, a rune or something.
But is it spelt with the extra L?
No, it's just regular P-A-L,
Pal.
The runic equivalent. And you think there's a letter missing before.
Basically keep it from being Paul, it's now Pal. Opal. Opal. you're saying Paul, but unfortunately in English that we would call that Pal.
Sure.
Yeah, Opal. Okay. But trouble, I don't know if runes actually have capitalization or not. They probably don't. So
no,
it's all caps.
It's all caps, all in one row.
Go to the entrance and shine a light inside and see what's there.
It's completely dead and dark and lightless, and the lamplight crawls over the forgotten and misused and piled tools and barrels, broken barrels and bits of cooperage.
Or no, if they're made out of brass, they're still good.
They're probably rusted and iron. Yeah.
This is not going to be the dry place around here.
In fact, you probably hear a drip somewhere. And there's almost this sort of crawling little mist as well. And it's extra chilly down here.
I slap Kaim on the back and say, "Go ahead and take a look."
Oh, well, okay then. Waltz is in there. This is the tall guy, right?
Which means we take the pony keg off his back first.
Yeah, so he hefts his apprentice's Cooper hammer and starts going into the greater Teruic space. With his lantern, yes, of course, yes.
In his offhand, holding around. See any spiders? You know, big ones, about 4 foot tall.
Don't see any spiders. Why would there be spiders?
Well, always checking. They love these kind of places. I sort of know this, you know. Spider breaker of Marl, after all.
The squirrel is like, aye, and long, hairy legs, the horror. I'm sorry, what?
Just between Scully and of course, they're terrorizing these poor princesses.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure the tail will get taller by the time they get back.
Scully enlarges upon all of that stuff and does not help at all. But Keem appears to not have any particular trouble. He, you know, calls back after a while. He vanishes a little. It's almost a huge space, almost a long hall of stuff. He goes behind some vats and stuff, so you can still see the light of his lamp. And then he calls away like, oh, found something. Oh, no. What to make of it?
I look at Scully, look at the other two, and I'll tell Frore, you guard the wagon. We'll be back. If we need you, we'll call you in.
I'll stay here, says Scully. You never know when those goblins come and ambush you from the back.
All right. So I'll take Rudy, and we'll head over to where the light is.
So you make your way in, and you find Keem standing over what appears to be two... pretty much clean picked sets of dwarven bones. They're draped in these sort of moldy, rotting, finery type clothes. And it appears that one dwarf has stabbed the other in the belly and the other has cleft the other's head and they've fallen over together. And then some debris has fallen over them. You can see a clan insignia on one of them, the dagger person. A ring, right?
What clan is it?
It's a Gotterdam ring.
I squat down, look at them very carefully, look around for a stave or something like that, and then poke them just to make sure they don't move after being poked.
Is it Rudy? He's like, really?
You don't know, lad.
So after all, Flint with his horrific ghost story.
He's too daft.
I reach over and... take the ring off. I guess it's just more like the shaking and the fingers fall out. Then I look at the other one. Does he have a ring on his? We separate the bodies and we check and see if there's any.
You don't see anything obvious. You could dig through his clothing.
Check his pockets. We'll keep them separate. We keep them separate as much as we can because I'll probably need to tell Flint that I found a relative.
Okay.
In fact, I look around for a largest box and tell Rudy put those bones in that box and we'll put these bones in another box. They deserve a proper burial.
Should we focus on getting the brewing stuff?
Well, the box will fit inside of a vat.
Dwarf bones inside. Well, all right.
We're going to have to clean them anyway. Would you like to have the first shot at it?
No, don't get me wrong. It sounds very sacred.
So yeah, I go through their guy's pockets or bags or whatever. You know.
Okay, you find around its neck, around its bony neck, obscured by the clothing, which is not fun to poke around since it's sort of slimy and sleek and full of mold and coming apart.
Well, I got that stave.
What little is left of it.
I got that stave, so you know, yes. scrape, yep.
He has an amulet around his neck, which is mostly gold. And the insignia on that is not something that you immediately recognize. Mm. But I suppose you could try to do a clan history test if you wish to identify it.
Sure, I can open another skill up. So that's what? A perception skill? Again with 5 successes. Another reach?
Yeah, it was going to be an ob 2 anyway, so which would be 4, which is if you have 5 successes, then...
I recognize it.
Yes, it's definitely, you know, as far as you know, this is an heirloom of the Opal clan.
All right. Well, we give them the boxes, and I'll put everything, you know, at least anything that isn't slimy in the boxes with them. Who stabbed who?
The Gotterdam ringed dwarf stabbed the axe holding opal dude.
Yeah, we make sure the appropriate weapons go in the appropriate box, and then I'll tell Rudy to take the boxes out to the wagon while we look around and see if we can find a usable. We need a brew of that, and we need some fermentation barrels.
Going to sounds open? Like scavenging.
Yep. All right. What's my obstacle in this one?
This is going to have to be the final test for the evening.
Yes.
Or the morning, rather.
The day.
The day.
All right. So what's my obstacle on this?
Hard to find items, definitely. So I'd say it's orb three.
Orb three doubled, of course, because I'm opening up. So I need to I need to beat a six. Ooh, this time do I want to try to re-roll that six? I'll spend a fate on it.
Okay. How many successes do you have already?
I only got two, so you never know. A four. But not enough. I'm halfway there, so I guess we don't find anything useful, I guess.
That fate, though, goes...
Perception.
Perception, yes.
So, basically, everything here is just trash.
I should have given you a sort of failure condition before.
I was sort of saying it. This place is way too moist. It's really... Chances are everything's going to be so mildewed or rotten that it's not even worth it.
Surprisingly, there are some things that are not completely ruined, probably due to extreme lost dwarven arts in creating materials. However, it's not really that you don't find stuff. It's that you don't find enough intact things to really make a big difference. And it takes a while. And in your rummaging through the store, you... draw the attention of something, which we're going to find out next time.
Dum, dum, dum!
So now we don't have time.
You're starting to get more cliffhangery.
But that's the best way to do it.
All kinds of cliffhangers on all kinds of fronts. All right, so let's quickly hop on to Art Awards. I guess since we had Ulfkill right here, let's see. You did, in fact, reproduce the brew.
Yes.
With the stuff you had. So that is a persona point. And you did go looking for supplies in the outer gallery, so that is a fate point. You didn't really have any other big things happen. But I'll give you an embodiment persona just because I'm generous. I think that's fun. Hopping over to Slate.
Yes.
You did, in fact, recover the arbalest. It's not delivered yet, so perhaps, there's not going to be any more testing in that situation. So you have it. So that is a persona point earned for finding the arbalest for Bruna.
Yeah, I got four.
You found the scouts. You haven't escorted them back to camp yet, though, and that could be problematic. So you get a fate point for finding the scouts.
Yay.
I got them. One fate point.
Okay, let's hop on over to Fadral. Da, 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 da. Flint did not die against the cave beast. Persona point.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you for thinking about me.
You also found the missing scouts. Persona point. You have possibly found a way into Scoria. You don't know yet. So, no, nothing there.
Not a fate.
Not even a fate. You didn't test anything. You didn't drive any. It was really happenstance, and that's really my fault. But I wanted the door to come into play. So, that's on my end.
It's the smoking arbalest. It'll show up again.
Okay, let's hop on over to Flint.
I believe I actually found some scouts, which is in there somewhere.
Yes, that is a persona point. You seem to have found... Oh, okay, find the secret of the entrance. You haven't done that. Yeah. You haven't even tried.
I'm task-focused. I'm working on the scouts.
Yes. I'll give you an embodiment, though. You had some blathering and stuff.
Yay, points for blather. So an embodiment is fate or persona?
One persona. Okay, so how about the workhorse character? The person who slaves away behind the scenes and has the right skill and stuff. Or gear.
Can I be greedy and say, well, it was Flint who took the brunt of the beast and drove it back with the help of the prince, of course, and also the one who did the stealthiness in the goblins, even if the prince wasn't stealthy.
Maybe that's more of an MVP award.
We can work it either way. Also, Workhorse is totally Ufkel going off on his own and convincing Scully to come along, so that way when he gets murdered, he'll have someone to help him.
I'm not allowed to vote, but if I could, I'd probably nominate Slate for the numerous helping and making sure the scout didn't die.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
I agree with that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to vote?
Sure.
Yes.
Workhorse persona for Slate? Okay, so one more for Slate. MVP, then. Most valuable player. Damn, we couldn't have done it without him.
That, in that case, I definitely would go back to say Flint's that.
Yep, Flint.
Yep.
Yay.
Then that's that for this time's Arta Awards. Da, 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 da.
Yay. Well, lovely wife is gone and cooked, so I am going to skedaddle instead. Oh, chill. And the dog says, oh, someone must have invited some company. So I'll catch y'all later.
All right.
Good night. See ya. Say hi to Snoopy for me.
I hear Todd breathing.
That's not creepy at all. I'm Swedish. I have a higher save versus taxes.
Send all complaints and other feedback. SunnySkypers at Zoho.com. That's Zoho.com. Or Zoho.com if you prefer. Or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.